We're continuing our series on God's great care in our life and God's direction in our life. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1 together of Psalm 23. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful word and its reminder in our life of your care and shepherding in our life. And Lord, I pray that as we consider your provision, I pray you would help us. I pray, Lord, that we would find our confidence in this day in our identity and who you are. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would be glorified in our hearts. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This wonderful psalm is more than just a king writing about a king. It's a shepherd writing about a shepherd. And David was taken from the fields of watching over his own father's sheep to be a shepherd to a nation, to a people. In Psalm 78, in verse 70, the Bible says he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. God trained David in the field of watching over his father's sheep to become a shepherd of men. But David's focus in Psalm 23 is of the great care of the good shepherd in his life. You know, we are taught from the Bible, right from verse number 1 of Psalm 23, that Jehovah God is our shepherd. It's a wonderful metaphor that God uses to describe the relationship that he has with his people. And we are truly under the protection and care of our shepherd, my shepherd, David said. The very verb tense here of "the Lord is my shepherd," the thought here is that God is shepherding me. God is my shepherd. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 40, verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." We learned last week that he is the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. He is also the great shepherd. He lives through the sheep. And the Bible says he's the chief shepherd. One day he'll come back for his sheep. But I want us to notice in Psalm 23, as we think of this wonderful declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd," I want us to consider a plentiful provision. The Bible says, "I shall not want." Turn with me, if you could, in your Bibles to Psalm 34. And notice what the scripture says a couple of pages ahead in your Bible. It's page 477 in mine. I don't know if that's helpful to you, but Psalm 34 in verse number 9, we see in this passage of scripture a wonderful thought of God's provision in our life as David, again, is considering the shepherd of his soul. He writes in Psalm 34, verse 9, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, I understand this morning it's true that there are many things that may be missing from our lives that we may want. But at the very most fundamental sense of Psalm 23, the Bible says if we belong to the shepherd, if we belong to Jesus, the scriptures teach us that we lack nothing. You see, no supplement is needed in our life to live a life that is full and complete. Now, last Saturday, I just turned 42 years old. And 42 years old, I'm at the age where people my age, between 40 and 60, they go through what people will call a midlife crisis. And a midlife crisis is when an individual will begin to question their decisions in their life, their direction in their life. And they'll begin to question their very own identity of where they are and all that they've gone through. But I want to remind you this morning that as a Christian, we understand that our identity is found in the shepherd. And this is what David is saying in this passage of Scripture. He is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of this, I shall not want. Because Jehovah is my shepherd, he says, my cup is full. Because Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is indeed a plentiful provision. But what does this mean practically for our life? Well, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write down number one with me, the supply of the shepherd. The supply of the shepherd. You see, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he is speaking of a wonderful provision that is given to him by Jehovah God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, you see, Abraham learned an important truth about God. The Bible says in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. And throughout Psalm 23, as we look at the overview of it, this is really the message that David is speaking of, that God would provide for his sheep, that there is a plentiful provision. And in verse number one, this wonderful overview reminds us of God, who he is, but also what God will provide for his sheep. One preacher said this while studying through Psalm 23. He came to the word is, the Lord is, and he said, God is and will always be is. They that believe in God, or they that come to God, must believe that he is. And this speaks of God's eternality. This speaks of who he is. He is the creator. And because he is God, the self-existing one, because he is the creator of all, he has all resources to give to his sheep. That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4:19. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we understand today that this thought of God providing the needs of our life is more than just food on the table, or it's more than just money in the bank. This need or this necessity goes far deeper than this, and it's specific to the sheep. It's interesting, the same Greek word that is used here for need is translated in Acts 6, verse 3 as the word business. And it's speaking about the need of the church and the business of the church as a need arise, that God would take care of that need or that business. And those things that are lacking and those things that are deficient in our life, the reality is this is God's business. This is the business of the shepherd to provide for his sheep. And so the Bible says this is his work in our life to provide, to give to the sheep. Someone says he calms our fears, he dries our tears, he helps us stand, he gives a hand, he comforts our heart, his grace he imparts. He's always there because he cares. It's the very work of the good shepherd. And David understood this. He said, listen, the shepherd is there to meet the needs. This is the very business of the shepherd, to meet the needs of his sheep. We see letter A in our notes that it is the supply of the soul. The supply of the soul. Everything that is essential to our soul is provided in the person of Jesus Christ. And of course, this begins with our soul salvation. And it carries on to the spiritual and the emotional needs that we have each and every day. As Christians today, we understand we have a gracious salvation. We have a plentiful salvation, and he has brought us back into that sheepfold, and he has provided himself as a sacrifice so that we could have eternal life. And I would think here this morning, with this crowd, that we would all agree that our salvation is indeed God providing for our greatest need. I want us to turn to the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter, if you would, and notice here the conversation of our Savior with the Pharisees of the day in John chapter 8, verse 23. And notice what the Scripture says, verse 23. The Bible says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Verse 24, John chapter 8, and I said therefore unto you, that ye die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. In this passage of Scripture, there are three fundamental truths. First of all, there's the greatest trouble in focus. What is the greatest problem with this people is that they had unbelief in their heart. They did not believe that Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah, and they lived in unbelief. Our world today is filled with those that have unbelief. It's interesting, our world today will believe, they'll believe the latest tabloid, but they won't read and believe a gospel tract. And so our world is filled with unbelief. Our world is filled with ignorance. Our world is filled with rebellion. Our world is filled with confusion. And Jesus said, ye must believe that I am he. But we also notice the greatest truth we find in verse 28. We notice that Jesus was the answer to our sin problem, that he would be lifted up. And by being lifting up, it speaks of the cross and that he would die in their place, that salvation would be offered to all who call upon the name of the Lord. And a wonderful provision would be given to those who come to the Lord. But notice the greatest tragedy we face. It is to reject God's provision. And Jesus said, listen, you must believe that I am he, or you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins. To die in our sins is the greatest tragedy of humanity. To reject the provision offered by the Lord. You know, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, then God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need would have been pleasure, then God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness of our sins, and God sent us a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. The Bible says by the divine power that has been given to all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We see the supply of our soul and a wonderful salvation, but also I think in the scripture it also defines here the provision of the shepherd, the supply to the saint. The supply to the saint. Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount that the Gentiles worry about many things. And we live in a world today where we are bombarded with things to worry about. It's easy to worry about what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. And Jesus spoke that the Gentiles worry about these things, but Christ taught his disciples a different way. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought," the thought there is worry, "can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, nor what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." I think we would all agree this morning that God meets our needs. He meets our needs. He provides for the flock. And maybe this morning you have a need. Maybe you have a need. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a spiritual need. Maybe it's an emotional need. Maybe it's a physical ailment that you're facing. Listen, friend, God is our great shepherd, and he provides for the needs of the sheep. You know, I have seen many times, and I can bear witness to you this morning, and you as well, if you know the Lord, you would agree. I've seen many times the work of the shepherd in my life. And I've seen God meet the needs of my soul. In times of sorrow, he's been the unseen comforter. In times of confusion, he's been the truth giver and wisdom. In times of loneliness, God's presence is there to comfort us. And we can rest assured that it is enough. We have personally experienced the provision of the Good Shepherd in our life. But not only do we notice the supply of the shepherd, I want us to notice, secondly, would you write it down, the satisfaction of the sheep. You see, when David penned, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," that expression, "I shall not want," means more than just the providing shepherd. It means that David had everything that he needed in the shepherd, in the shepherd. John chapter 14 is a message about comfort. Jesus is breaking the news to his disciples that he's going away, that there's going to be a time of great turmoil and great distress in their life. Where was Jesus going? Well, in John chapter 14, he said he was going to a cross. And by going to the cross, he would make a way for us to go to the Father. And Philip said in John 14:8, he said, "Lord, you show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We will be complete. We will be satisfied." And Jesus said in verses 10 and 11, he said that by his work, that he would bring true satisfaction in their life. So what do you want today? I mean, seriously, look deep down into your heart. What do you truly want today? By faith, I can say that if you could have it, it still wouldn't be enough. I heard the story of one day a man came to Mr. Harriman. He was a railway mogul. He was an industrialist. He was an investor. He was a man of great wealth and great influence. And he said to Mr. Harriman, he says, I am richer than you are. And Mr. Harriman said, well, how in the world is that? And he said, because you don't have all you want, and I have all I want. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have all I want. You know, sheep have a bad habit of wandering off to find greener pastures. And this practice is dangerous to the sheep because they stray from the shepherd and they become easy prey. And this is because of discontentment. And discontentment, when we allow discontentment to fill our hearts, we become easy prey for the devil. You think about this for a moment. Marriages that fall apart, relationships that crumble, churches that decay, Christians that become ineffective in the work of the Lord. There's a root there, and many times that root is discontentment in their heart. Discontentment. I want to remind you that one of the reasons why Adam and Eve took of the fruit was because of discontentment in their heart. Satan said to them, you can be like God. We can have more. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. But David didn't find his satisfaction in a kingdom. David didn't find his satisfaction in his influence. David didn't find his satisfaction in even the calling of God in his life. No, he said, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd, and it is enough. I shall not want. I see, first of all, he was satisfied with his purpose. With God's purpose in his life. There are those that believe that satisfaction comes from a God who gives them whatever they want. And they treat God like a genie where, you know, they need something, they just come to God and God gives it to them. And they say, well, if I could get this and I can get that and God gives me this and God gives me that, I'll be satisfied. And then they come to a passage of scripture in Psalm 37 and they think, well, if I love Jesus, then Jesus will give me that new Tesla. And if I love Jesus, then he's going to give me that new iPhone. And if I love Jesus, then that brand new house on the water is just a couple of months away. They read Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of their heart. And they say, well, that Tesla and that phone and that home, that's the desires of my heart. But that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying if you delight in Jesus, then the deepest desires of your heart will be met because the desire of your heart is Jesus. And you could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David didn't say it was what the shepherd gave him. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and it is enough. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Would you turn there? Colossians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul did not live an easy life. It was a purposeful life for sure, but it was a life filled with troubles and trials. And he writes in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, for in him, this speaks of Jesus. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus as God has poured his life into me. That's what Paul is saying. Paul said that the life that I now live in Galatians chapter 2, the life that I live through the power of Christ who lives through me. And then he writes in Colossians 2, verse 10, He says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Our life is full because of Christ. Paul said, and Christ who is our life. Do you know why Job, when he lost everything, did not take a nervous breakdown or have a midlife crisis? Because those things were not his life. His life was God. And the Bible teaches us that he must be our satisfaction. Our life is full because of Christ. It is the person of Jesus that makes the difference in our life. But also, not only are we satisfied with God's purpose, we're also satisfied with his presence. Paul did not live a life for greener pastures. And he teaches us not to do so with our own life. He said, listen, let your life be without covetousness. He said, be content. The word there, content, means to be detached. Detached from the circumstances of our life. That's why he told the church at Philippi, I know how to abound, I know how to abase, but my identity is not found in those things. He says, I've learned to be content because my sufficiency is in Christ. And he says here in this passage of Scripture, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 13, verse 4, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Notice the presence of Christ in this passage of Scripture. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's a wonderful satisfaction knowing that Christ is always there. And he's always guiding us. He's always leading us. He's helping us. He's on our side. He's comforting our souls. He's providing the needs of our life. He's there. Be content with the presence of the shepherd. And so David said, the Lord is my shepherd. It is enough. I shall not want. But there's another thought in this four word phrase. I want us to notice, thirdly, the security in my steps. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The supply of the shepherd is there. The satisfaction of the sheep is there. But if we understand what Psalm 23 is talking about, then we understand that we're on a pathway as Christians to an eternal home. And that's what Psalm 23 is all about. We are on a pathway to an eternal home. And one day we will be with the shepherd. And it's a wonderful thought, the hope that we have in our life. In fact, we could honestly say that if we look at Psalm 23 in those six verses, that Psalm verse 1 actually paraphrases the entire psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the purpose of our life. This ought to be our what we strive for. This is the very meaning of life as we travel along life's way. God is our shepherd, and he's all we need. And this is what Psalm 23 is all about. In fact, the Christian life is often illustrated by the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. I want you to turn to Psalm 78 once again and notice what the Scripture says here. Psalm 78, and notice what the Bible says in verse 52. Psalm 78 in verse number 52. Notice what the Scripture says here. Psalm 78, verse 52. The Bible says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to his mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. God, as a shepherd, led his people. As they traveled through the unknown, God was there to meet their needs. Now, the problem is the children of Israel never really learned the lesson that the shepherd was enough. And I think that if we had a psalm from their perspective, they would say, "The Lord is my shepherd," but we didn't have it. We weren't satisfied. And that was their problem, right? That's why they got in such a mess. That's why they were always in distress, because God was there to lead them and God was there to help them, but they just didn't lean or trust in the shepherd. And the Bible says that the Old Testament is here for our admonition. It's for our learning that we would not be like them. We would trust the shepherd and we would be satisfied that he's enough. As God is our shepherd now, as he brings hope that will last forever, as he leads us and directs us, this is also our story. But here's the question. Will we trust the shepherd? Can we say today, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He is my everything. He is all I need in my life." Henry Baker said this about Psalm 23 and God guiding us each day. He said, "The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever." Listen, our life is not easy. We are born unto trouble like the sparks fly upward. But we can rest assured today that God, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, has a purpose for our life. And he weaves together those events like a wonderful tapestry for his glory and for our good. And I'm here to remind you this morning that you can trust the shepherd and his care for your life, because the Lord is. And he has the resources to provide for your deepest need of your life. He's on your side. And God wants you to trust in him so you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Jehovah God, my life is in his hand, is what David is saying. But what does it look like? What does all of this look like? Well, it's the supply of the shepherd. It's the satisfaction of the sheep. And it's the security along the bumps in the road of our life, knowing that he is enough. Someone has once said that when Christ is all you have, you will soon realize he is all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around this morning. First of all, you cannot really know his satisfaction until you